The System of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather by Edgar Allan Poe.
During the autumn of 1848, a tour through the extreme southern provinces of France led me within a few miles of a certain maison de santé, or private madhouse, about which I had heard much from my medical friends in Paris. As I had never visited a place of the kind, I thought the opportunity too good to be lost. Turning from the main road, I rode some 2 miles through a dank and gloomy wood. When the Maison de Santé came into view, it was a fantastic chateau, much dilapidated and indeed scarcely tenantable through age and neglect. Its aspect inspired me with absolute dread, and checking my horse, I half resolved to turn back. I soon, however, grew ashamed of my weakness and proceeded. Ah, the gate. It appears to be unlocked. Strange, as the regulations of these private madhouses are more rigid than the public hospitals.
Bonsoir.
Oh! Pardon me, Monsieur
Maillard. Dr. Maillard.
It was the superintendent of the madhouse, a portly, fine-looking gentleman with a polished manner and an air of authority which was very impressive.
We so rarely have visitors. How wonderful! Come in, come in. There is a fire in the parlor where you can get warm. Won't you stay for dinner?
Why, thank you. It was an exceedingly neat parlor containing, among other indications of refined taste, many books and musical instruments. At the harp sat a young and very beautiful woman, excessively, though not to my taste, unpleasingly pale. She was attired in deep mourning.
Bonsoir, monsieur. Have you come from Paris?
I was cautious, as I had heard the institution of Monsieur Maillard was managed upon the soothing system. That all punishments were avoided, that the patients were permitted to roam about unconfined in the ordinary apparel of persons in right mind. So I could not be sure that the young lady was sane. In fact, there was a certain restless brilliancy about her eyes which half led me to imagine she was not.
The wine, sir.
Ah, yes. Merci. Some wine, monsieur.
Please.
If you'll pardon me.
Mademoiselle. Forgive me for asking, doctor, but is she...
No. A member of my family, my niece.
Oh, 1,000 pardons. I just thought it possible, you know.
Oh, rather, it is myself who should thank you for the commendable prudence you have displayed. While my patients were permitted the privilege of roaming to and fro at will, they were often aroused to a dangerous frenzy by injudicious persons who called to inspect the house.
You never confined your patients?
Very rarely.
And you had no punishments of any kind?
None. The word lunacy was never employed. We contradicted no fancies which entered the brain. On the contrary, we encouraged them. We have had patients, for example, who fancied themselves chickens. The cure was to insist upon the thing as a fact, and thus to refuse them any other diet for a week than that which properly appertains to a chicken. In this manner, a little corn and gravel were made to perform wonders.
What fascinating, but this soothing system is no longer in force?
Decidedly.
Oh.
It had its disadvantages, even its dangers. After dinner, I will be happy to take you over the house and introduce you to a new system of my own invention, which, in my opinion, is incomparably the most effectual as yet devised.
Dinner is served.
Shall we?
The company assembled were apparently people of rank, certainly of high breeding, although by no means accoutred in what a Parisian would consider good taste. There was an air of oddity and short about the dress of the whole party.
Here, monsieur, sit by me.
Oh, thank you, doctor. My host was a world of good-natured anecdotes. He seemed quite willing to speak of his position as superintendent here, and indeed, the topic of lunacy was a favorite with every person present.
We had a patient here once that fancied herself a teapot.
There is scarcely an insane asylum in France which cannot supply a human teapot.
Oh, our teapot was careful to polish herself every morning with buckskin and whiting.
We had here, not long ago, a person who had taken it into his head that he was a donkey. He was a troublesome patient. And he was perpetually kicking out his heels.
Monsieur, upon my word, you are nearly as great a donkey as that poor unfortunate imagined himself. Whee! Your acting is very natural as I live. Whee!
We had a patient once upon a time who very pertinaciously maintained himself to be a Cordova cheese. And went about with a knife in his hand, soliciting his friends to try a small slice from the middle of his leg.
Oh, he was a great fool, but not to be compared with a certain individual whom we all know. Who took herself as a bottle of champagne and always went off with a pop and a fizz in this fashion.
And then there was Petit Gaillard, who thought himself a pinch of snuff and was truly distressed because he could not take himself between his own finger and thumb.
Madame Joyeuse was a more sensible person, as you know. She had been turned into a chicken, but as much she behaved with propriety.
Doctor, couldn't you help her?
No. Moreover, we needed the eggs.
Oh, Madame Joyeuse was a fool. Unlike Eugenie Salsafette.
It was the beautiful young girl from the parlor.
She was a very beautiful and painfully modest young lady who thought the ordinary mode of clothing indecent and wished to dress herself always by getting outside instead of inside her clothes. Like this.
Oh! Mademoiselle! Mademoiselle!
Mesdames et messieurs, I will thank you to behave. You can either conduct yourselves with propriety, or you can quit the table.
My God! Who is that?
The lunatics every now and then get up a howl. We are used to these things and care really very little about them.
It occasionally happens, however, that the howls are succeeded by a simultaneously attempt at breaking loose.
I see. Well, how many do you have in charge?
At present, we have not more than 10 altogether.
Doctor, did I understand you to say that the system you have adopted in place of the celebrated soothing system is one of your own invention?
Not altogether. Some portions of it are referable to Dr. Tarr. Oh, yeah. Of whom you have necessarily heard. And again, there are modifications in my plan, which I am happy to acknowledge as belonging of right to the celebrated Professor Feather. Oh. with whom, if I mistake not, you have the honor of an intimate acquaintance.
I am ashamed to confess that I have never even heard the names of either gentleman before.
Do you mean to say you've never heard either of the learned Dr. Tarr?
Or the celebrated Professor Feather?
It was the opinion of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather that it is never safe to permit inmates to run at large unattended. A lunatic may be soothed for a time, but in the end, he is very apt to become obstreperous.
And the dexterity with which he counterfeits insanity presents one of the most singular problems in the study of mind.
When a madman appears thoroughly sane indeed, it is high time to put him in a straitjacket.
But my dear doctor, have you practical reason to think liberty hazardous in the case of a lunatic?
Why, a singular circumstance occurred in this very house. The soothing system was then in operation, and the patients were at large. One fine morning, the keepers found themselves pinioned, hand and foot, and thrown into the cells, where they were attended as if they were the lunatics, by the lunatics themselves. You see, a lunatic had taken it into his head that he had invented a better system than any ever heard of before, and persuaded the rest of the patients to join him in a conspiracy for the overthrow of the reigning powers.
And the treatment, what was the particular species of treatment which the leader of the rebels put into operation?
It was a very capital system indeed. Simple, neat, no trouble at all. In fact, it was delicious. In fact, it was...
Gracious heavens! The lunatics have certainly broken loose!
I very much fear it is so!
And now came the climax. Leaping through these windows, there rushed a perfect army of what I took to be chimpanzees, orangutans, or big black baboons. The keepers, having been suddenly overpowered, had been tarred, feathered, and then shut up in underground cells. They had been so imprisoned for God knows how long, during which period Monsieur Maillard had generously allowed them not only the tar and feathers, which constituted his system, but some bread and water. At length, one of them, escaping through the sewer, gave freedom to all the rest. The soothing system, with important modifications, has been resumed at the chateau. Yet, I cannot help agreeing with Monsieur Maillard that his own treatment was a very capital one of its kind. As he justly observed,
it was simple, neat, and gave no trouble at all. Not in the least.
I have only to add that although I have searched every library in Europe for the works of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather, I have, up to the present day, utterly failed in my endeavors of procuring an edition.